Hi guys, welcome to the Tech Life Podcast, where we speak about all things tech, career, culture, connections, and everything in between. We are super excited that you're listening to us, and we hope that this episode informs and entertains you. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Tech Life Podcast. We're so glad to have you here. I am your host, Tomi Sin. And on this episode of Tech Life Podcast, we have a very amazing guest with us. Our guest's name is Tolu Lokpe Adli. He is a product designer at Sigla Carbon. Hi, Tolu.
Hi, Tomi Sin, and thank you for having me on Tech Life Podcast.
Hey, thank you. It's so super excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
That I'm excited. Right.
So
we'll just be having a conversation about Tolu's career and just all things Tolu and his career, basically. So I'll just start with the random or most important question. And just to get to know you a little bit, what do you do and where do you work? I mean, what does your company do? Like we've mentioned that you are a product designer at Sigla Carbon. So what does that entail exactly?
Okay, so I'm a product designer at Sigla Carbon, like you said. And Sigla Carbon is an independent Norwegian provider of actionable insights leading to substantial reduction in carbon emissions. So basically, Sigla Carbon is in the shipping industry. We basically work on solutions to help reduce carbon emissions in the environment. A lot of people don't know that when people are talking about environmentalists, when they talk about carbon emissions and reduction of carbon emissions, the carbon emissions from humans that you and I generate in 1 year is probably what one ship would generate in a single voyage. So what Sigla Carbon tries to do is to provide ship owners, brokers, and charterers with independent, actionable insights to help them reduce their carbon emissions and also to help generate a common carbon language that stimulates players all around the value chain to reduce emissions. So that's it in a nutshell. Yeah.
Not sure,
it
was very large.
yes, to be honest, it can be a bit of a mouthful sometimes, and it's a steep learning curve when you come into the industry, because a lot of people think that the shipping industry is just a small thing, but it's really huge and it can be complex at times. Yeah.
Right, so you guys are basically global warming heroes.
Yeah, in some sorts, yeah. We just try to make life easier, life more livable for people, and to reduce the impact of global warming. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
How does you working as a product designer play into, your company's work?
So basically, like I explained, it's an industry that is a bit complex. Different people have different terminologies for different things in different companies. So we try to find a common language that everyone will understand. For example, yeah, we know that the International Maritime Organization, that's IMO, they have a classification for ships, but different companies have different classifications for those ships. So we just try to look for the way the client or the charterer or the user would understand that same language, and also to help them put those carbon emissions in ways they would understand. So for example, we let you know when a particular voyage is above the IMO's recommendation for that voyage. So let's say you're moving a container from, or a vessel from Lagos to Baltimore in Maryland, and the IMO says it should take, let's say, 1,000 metric tons of CO2. And that voyage would take, maybe based on the ship you want to use and the quantity of cargo you're pushing, it's going to take, let's say, 1,500 based on our own estimations, making use of AI and machine learning. We then let you know that, okay, we don't think this particular ship would be a good option for you because it is 50% above IMO's recommendation. There are other ships that can do that same journey with less emission and will save you more money in the future, and will make the environment a better place. So that's just how we help them do that.
That's great. I think it's super awesome that, like, in one way or in a seemingly small way, you're contributing to the growth of Earth, right? And making the world a better place.
I think we'll try.
Yeah, at least you're trying, right? I think that's
awesome.
Okay. My next question would be, how did you get into the tech space? I mean, were you always a techie? Did you study, like, computer engineering or something, or did you transition into tech? And if you did transition, did you, like, go to a school, or were you self-taught?
Okay, so from my background, I think I fell in love with computers from a very tender age. I think at about six, and I had a computer lesson teacher, basically. It taught me Lotus 1-2-3, Fortran, and all of that. But when I got into secondary school, I don't think I pursued that. So my first degree is in economics, and my master's is in marketing communications. I started my career in communications and marketing. I think I had my first experience with product design when I was in communications, when we had to come up with an application, and I did a bit of research on it, and it was a bit interesting. And after a while, I did not find marketing interesting again, and I felt like I needed to do something more. So that was when I pivoted into product design.
Wow, that seems like, I mean, you started from economics to marketing.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same classroom. And I mean, well, I think it's awesome that you knew what you wanted to do and you went for it. You figured it out and you went for it. I think it's a very big big leap to go out of your comfort zone into something that is entirely unknown to you. And I think that's super awesome. You mentioned that you went to a design school, or you attended a design school online, right? What was your biggest struggle while learning, and how did you overcome that?
I would say that my biggest struggle while learning didn't really actually have to do with school, because not to blow my own horn, I would say, like, I'm an above average student, so I kind of understand things easily. So I think my biggest challenge was uncertainty, because I was making, like, this big move. I was going to be moving away from everything I've known in marketing and communication, the contacts I had built in that sector, because I can remember that all the jobs I got were mostly referrals when I was working in communications and marketing. I didn't really need to apply for any job, and moving into this space where I did not really know people, I didn't know how that was going to play. It also meant that I was putting all my eggs into one basket. I did leave my job after I was done, just to focus on product design, because I was just going all in. So I think that my biggest challenge was uncertainty. And I think I was able to conquer that because I had a good support system. My parents were always there to help and give me encouragement. They were there to let me know that, look, I mean, even if this does not pan out properly, we love you. I think they are supposed to say that, yeah. But yeah, saying that we love you and
they are supposed to say that.
We love you. Don't be afraid. Just make the jump. If you need money, we'll be there. And I think they did support me with money at some point, because I think my first job in product design paid me about $150 a month. And this was me, I was probably earning maybe about, I think I was earning about 700,000 per month, 700,000 naira per month when I left my job. So it was the uncertainty and loss of income, but I had, like, a good support system that was able to help me pull through, like, first 2 months of that year.
I think it's something that is not really spoken about, the uncertainty that comes with career change. People just look at it and say, oh, you moved from this, that's great. But like the anxiety and the turmoil that you go through in your mind, like what if I feel like this?
What if? Yeah, I think it's really that one of what if I fail, like am I sure of this, is this going to, what if does not happen? I think at the back of my mind I always knew that, well, if I did not succeed and if I did not have money, I was just going to go back to my parents' house.
But right,
so there was that also.
My parents believe in me and they are pumping money into me, and then I will come and say I'm not doing the kids. That's one thing that people really talk about a lot, the uncertainty and anxiety that comes into career changes. Okay, you mentioned moving from earning ₦700,000 to $150. So which means that you went from a Nigerian job to an international job, right? How exactly did you land that international job? Because you also mentioned that you didn't have referrals anymore.
I had to come up with a portfolio. For my, just to show what I'm able to do, finish on all my work, develop the portfolio, had about 2 case studies on my portfolio, and I had another one I was doing on the background. At this point, none of the products were live. They were just ideas on Figma. Things that, one was my capstone project, another one was something I had thought of on my own. The third one I was working on was something I had seen, a problem statement that I had seen somewhere on the internet, and I was just working on that. So after the 3 projects were ready, I moved to LinkedIn to look for jobs. And luckily for me, I was able to find a job at a startup in Uganda. I applied for the job, I put in for the job, and I think about 2 weeks later, I got a call back. We like what you've done. Can we have an initial interview? And we had the initial interview. It went well. I had a take-home task to work on. I think they gave me about 3 days to do that. And after 3 days, I submitted. Then about another 2 days after that, we had a call for me to tell them my thinking, just walk them through my thought process, how I was able to land on what I came up with and all of that. Then after we were done with that, 2 days later, I got an email saying I was successful in the role, but because they're a startup, this is what they can offer. And I mean, it was a good beginning for me. This is where I would still say that, because I knew that I had the options of my parents, it was very easy for me to accept. Just, you know, well, let me just take 150. It's the experience that matters at this point. So, and when I got into, the name of the company is Soko. When I got into Soko, it was pretty interesting because the product was just being built. So I had to contribute a lot. I worked a lot coming up with designs, working with design system, creating design system, maintaining the existing design system also, coming up with user flows, personas, performing usability tests with actual users. So I would say my first job in tech really exposed me to what I needed to know, what I needed to do in product design, or what I needed to do as a product designer.
Because you chose experience over money. So kudos to you.
But if you remember, I said something that, knowing that I had my parents, made it very easy to accept $150, because I think the exchange rate at that time was even very lower.
Now that we I don't, but I totally understand. I mean, having a support system is super important, even when you are not switching careers. I mean, changing a job alone is a lot, right? Okay, so you had mentioned that you went to LinkedIn to jobs, right? So I mean, and we know that everybody is trying to earn, especially Nigerians, right? Trying to earn in foreign currency. Everybody wants to earn pounds and euro and dollars. What would you suggest would help a Nigerian stand out in a job application?
I don't want to say stand out, because I mean, standing out is probably very relative, or less subjective, depending on the organization that you're working for. But some things are just always very important. You just always have to put in your best work, show that you can do this thing, show that you understand the basics of it. When it's time for interviews, you need to invest in something. So for example, you need to get like very good internet connection. At that time, I was making use of a broadband in Nigeria. I think it was quite cheap then. I think it was unlimited, and it was 10,500 naira a month. So I always had that constantly, and so that always gave like a very first good impression with our recruiters or interviewers. There was usually no lag or break, so it helped them. It gave them the confidence that I would not say, "Oh, I don't have internet or something is wrong." So it always gave them that confidence. A second thing is to make sure that the job you're applying for, actually, if it's a remote job, then they would allow you work remotely in Nigeria. Or if it's a job that would relocate you, that the company is willing to relocate you from Nigeria to whatever country that it is there. It's also very crucial to state from the beginning to the company what help you might be needing. So for example, if it's a job that will require relocation, talk to them about work permits, how long it might take for the work permit to come through, the finances of the movement, what you're able to do, if you're open to working remotely, depending when your work permit comes through. And for some countries also, you also need to do some research. So for example, if you're moving to a country like the UK, sometimes the companies have to prove to the labor body there that we've tried to look for this talent in the UK and we've not found it. So sometimes it pays to not go for those kind of jobs that it might require the company to do more work. And also there is also the part of finances. You don't, when you look at your level as a designer, and you look at the market benchmark and you know you're better than that, it helps you to probably price yourself within the range. You don't give specific numbers, just give a range. A range is usually better. It lets people know that you're at least flexible on what you're expected to earn.
Okay. Sorry, I'm jotting things down. There's a lot to learn here. I think something that stood out from you on what you said was making sure to clear out logistics. I mean, it won't be great if you've already gotten the job and then you find out that, and then they are just finding out that you need a work permit, or you are, maybe you've been banned from the UK or something funny like that. So I think transparency is what I mean.
Yeah, so I will give you an example. So there was this particular job I applied for. It was in the US. And I think the main reason why I did not get that job was because we didn't have an official Apple distributor in Nigeria. Because the way they did it, so they wanted me to get a MacBook in Nigeria, but it had to be with an official Apple distributor. So yeah, so you need to be always be forthright with things like that. So let them know, oh, this is how it operates in Nigeria. I would have to meet a supplier who would then supply you with an invoice, but they are good for the invoice and all of that. So I also think that the Nigerian factor sometimes play into it. So you just need to find a way to, I don't know, let's say, give them the peace of mind that, yeah, you're working with someone that knows what they're doing. You've done your own research, and this is what they can expect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all of the advice. Trust me, I'm not even a designer. All right. Okay, I think my next question would be, could you tell us about any difficulties and challenges that one might face working remotely for an international company, like time zones, communication issues, and all of that?
I think time zone is very, as one that has been established over time. Like you can't run away from it, especially when if you're working for a company that is fully remote. You probably would have colleagues that when it's evening for you, it's morning for them. One way to guide against that is ensuring that maybe there are 2 hours or 3 hours a day that everyone has to meet with their team to let them know what's going on. That's one way to do about time zone. For cultural differences, I think cultural differences is a very big one. So for example, on my team right now, we are from, I think, 5 different nationalities. So I'm Nigerian, you have someone who is Indian, you have someone who is from Ghana, you have someone who is from Iran, and you have, I think, my line manager is American. So cultural differences over time, you just have to adapt to other cultures. For example, as a Nigerian, there are things, it's possible for me to say some things to you and end it with sha. And the next person is wondering, what does that even mean? So you so it's part of this difficulty, and their mannerism that they have, that when they say, you're kind of taken aback by it. But we guide through that by ensuring that we speak in the same language and everyone understands. You kind of try to forget about the mannerisms. You have a professional language that's just English. You speak in English, and you're more patient with understanding people. I think patience is one thing that not a lot of people will tell you that you need when you're working remotely. Because when you're working with people from other culture, you have to adapt to their culture. They have to adapt to yours also. And it's also where the place of over communication comes in. So if we've jumped on a call and we've had this great call, we've had this great session on the call, sometimes it also helps to follow up with a bit of summary of what we've spoken about. So dear Tommy Singh, we spoke about this, we agreed on this and all of that, just to help let the other person know that this is what you've said, this is what I understood. Is it the same thing you're also understanding, and are we in agreement? So working remotely, to overcome all of those obstacles, you always have to over communicate and just ensure that you are on the right page, on the same page with your colleague or with your line manager.
You know, when you mentioned everybody's like different cultures, all I thought about was a potluck and different types of food. But I think it's helpful thing that the cultural differences could also mean like sort of exposure for you, because you get to experience people from different places as well, right? And like you said, they would have own mannerisms that you kind of catch, and then you say it somewhere in Nigeria, and they will say, "Where have you been?"
For example, I have an Honduran colleague. She's from Honduras, so because she speaks Spanish, if she's going to type the way we spell H-A-H-A-H-A, for her she spells it as J-A-J-A-J-A. So you pick some of those things over time, and you kind of understand how language is different from one place to another, but you're invariably saying the same thing.
Right. Okay, my daughter is almost full. We have some more questions. Okay, my next question for you would be, how do you keep sharpening your skill set? I mean, what are your personal development strategies?
For personal development strategies, because it's product design and because it's tech and it's fast-paced, things are always, there are new things every day. What was raining yesterday will probably know what would be raining in 3 weeks. So basically, I like to read articles. I like to read books. I also like to practice a lot because I'm a product designer. So I also look at what other people are working on. So how did this person design this? How did this person go about this? What was probably their thinking? I read other people's case studies and just try to understand how they were thinking, how they solved the problem, and why they went about it that way. And I also listen to podcasts. Meetups, I don't think I've attended a lot of meetups in the last 6 months. It was easier to attend meetups when I was in Nigeria, but I since moved from Nigeria to Norway. So it's kind of difficult to attend meetups in Norway because you don't have a lot of product designers where I currently stay. So meetups not so much in person, but online meetups. I still attend some online like conferences or talk, or someone just trying to share their own idea. So those are the ways I keep up with my own personal development.
Okay, articles, podcasts, meetups.
Yeah, articles and practice. And you always have to practice. Yes, exactly.
All right. So next question. I mean, you mentioned you're building your portfolio before you even applied for your first international job, right? So I'd like you to rate 3 things in ranking of importance, right? Certificates, experience, and portfolio, and then tell us why you have ranked them in the way you rank them.
Okay, so I'm going to rank them this way: portfolio, experience, and certificate. And so I'm going to do something and just compare it to dating, basically. So when you're trying to date someone, you're first attracted to the person by what you see. So for example, this person is beautiful, or they have nice lips, they have nice fingernails, or I like the eyes and all of that. So something attracts you to the person. So after you've seen the person, you then walk up to them, you probably start talking to them and you have a conversation, and then they tell you a lot, they tell you more about them. They tell you also about their experience dating other people and all of that, what it's been like, what people have said, why the relationship did not work out, why it worked out. And finally, you're then able to then decide, based on what this person has said and all I've observed, maybe I can take the jump and just, decide to date them. So it's the same thing. Your recruiter first sees your portfolio. They're either attracted to what they see, or they run away from what they've seen on your portfolio, or maybe you don't have enough case studies for them to that calls their interest or piques their interest. So let's assume that you have a good portfolio, the recruiter is fine with it, then they invite you for like an interview, and then you talk about your experience. So what has been your experience as a product designer? What has been your experience building products? How many world-class products have you built? How many places have you worked? Why did you leave this place? What will your previous employer say about you? And then they probably then look at your certificate afterwards. So it's always portfolio, experience, and certificate. Certificates is, it comes into place maybe mostly when, let's say, there are 2-3 candidates that you really can't separate, and you're just looking for something that sets one other person apart from every other person. So definitely, if there is someone that has like a master's in human computer interaction, and there is somebody else that is probably self-taught, most times recruiters will want to go with the person that has a master's in human computer interaction. So yeah, it's just for to differentiate one candidate from the other most times. But I find out that from experience, 1 and 2, portfolio and experience, usually set apart a lot of candidates, even in the interview process.
It's how we got like dating advice in the middle. I love that. Okay. My next question would be, as a product designer at Sigla Carbon, what's a typical day in your life? Like, what's a typical random Tuesday for you?
So random Tuesday. So because at Sigla Carbon, I double as product owner and product designer. So I kind of wear 2 hats. So I think I usually wake up, let's say around 6:30 or 7 a.m. I always have to say a bit of prayer and get ready for work. And luckily for me, I think my house is just opposite the office. If I don't leave home till maybe like 7:55, I just cross the road, get into the office, talk to colleagues, look at what my calendar is for the day. I always have stand up around 11 o'clock. So 11 to 11:15, I have stand up from 11:15, because Norway is a bit different. So we kind of have lunch really early. So I have lunch at around 11:30 to 12. Then from 12, I mostly work on design stuff. So from maybe morning till lunch period, I work on product ownership things, basically finding out the status of our project, talk to the front-end developers, Are you blocked? Talk to the backend developers. Are you blocked? What do you need help with? What is the time estimate for this? What do we need to push it further? Are we going to be able to get this done in this sprint? Can you move? And a bit of housekeeping. What is the status of the project, of this task? Can you move it if you're done? Can you move it to QA? Just following up with everyone. Then I like to block out about 2 hours a day just to do design work. Working on solving a problem. Okay, we need it. A client has said they want to be able to adjust the speed of the ship on the platform, on our platform. So how do we go about that? How do we solve that? Do a bit of research, come up with design options, take some breaks at times, because I mean sometimes it gets intense. And at about 4 o'clock I'm rounding up to go home, because the candidate, my office takes work-life balance really serious. So when you're done with your 8 hours, you're expected to go home. So from 8 o'clock to 4 p.m., by 4 p.m. I'm rounding up already, and I go back home, rest at home. And I mostly rest by playing video games. I play a lot of video games. So play video games, sometimes read when I have to read also. And that's how I spend a typical day. And have dinner, then go to bed. And yeah, that's just it.
Random question, what video games do you play?
Call of Duty, FIFA, Red Dead Redemption. I play a lot of video games, so mostly adventure games and sports games. Unfortunately, I'm not a PlayStation fan. I play an Xbox. I don't play God of War. So God of War is only on PlayStation.
PlayStation for me, but okay.
But yeah, I mean, I've watched like gameplays of God of War on YouTube. I mean, it's a nice game, but I'm always an Xbox fanboy.
I mean, I don't play it. My brother does. I just love to watch it.
I'm an Xbox fanboy.
I play Mortal Kombat once in a while.
Combat games are very, it can be very annoying because you can just rob anything and just win.
Okay, my next question you would be, can you tell us your worst day so far versus your best day?
If you're speaking about worst day, are you, as in, is it generally my life in total or product design?
Oh, in your life.
My career. Oh, okay. I think my worst day was in December 2021.
Oh, wow.
And because I had this job opportunity. It was going to be in Germany. I had gotten to the last stage of the recruitment process. I had come up with my designs. I had done everything. We had this 2-hour call where I explained all my design decisions, what I did, why I did what, and all of that. And after that, for the next 1 week was crickets, nothing. I didn't hear anything. There was nobody saying anything. And I think about 2 days, about a week, next thing I saw was that the job had gone back on LinkedIn. It was really awful. Then the next day, the recruiter reaches out to me to say, oh, I'm really sorry about this, but we decided to go another direction. Your work was really good, but it's not just what we want at the moment. And I remember I was really gutted, because I felt that I had done amazingly well, and they had given me positive feedback during the entire process. So it was really, really nerve-wracking, because I remember feeling really bad for the rest of the day. And it was that kind of feeling whereby you're like, you know what, I'm not even applying for any jobs for the next 3-4 days. I just want to rest. So yeah, I think that was December 2021. You know, it really hurts, because I put in everything. And yeah, to find out that way that you were not going with me was a bit, it was painful. And for, I think, yes, and I think for a good day would be the day I got my, the day I got my offer for Singular Carbon. It's a very good day. I think I can't forget it. Because I think that in that same time, I think I was in five recruitment processes. So I had I was in five interview processes. One was in Denmark, another was in Norway. And then Singular Carbon came and I was really excited because I really liked what they were doing. So I was happy that they also believed I was a good match for them because I knew that they were a good match for me. So when I got the offer, I was really, really excited. And it even made me happy because it showed me that they wanted me. Because for example, the other recruitment that I was involved with a company in Denmark, they had already told me I was successful, but they were even yet to send me an offer letter to say, oh, this is what we want to give you. And here was Singular Carbon, 3 days after my process, my interview, they had sent me an offer letter and everything to say, oh, this is it. I mean, my line manager jumped on the call with me, explaining everything to me. I mean, if there were things I did not understand. And so, yeah, it was a very good day. And it was also the day that kind of validated my decision to move into product design. It was, it was a very good day.
I mean, I can so relate to your worst day. I have been ghosted by a company and I almost cried because I had a conversation with the guy and we spoke and he was like, oh, we work so well together. And then I never heard from him.
Yeah, it's always so painful and they're always so very positive. And
yeah.
Next to it is crickets. Yeah. It's annoying.
Anyways, the next question is, what has been your biggest win so far, career-wise?
My biggest win is also, I mean, I don't think it's coincidental, but it's in my current job, pushing out our first product, my own first product, which is called ShipFinder. And having a 90% acceptance rate by the shipping industry. Yeah, it was very good. It was a very, very good one. And also seeing that every time we go for a product demo, it's always very, very positive feedback. People telling you, oh, we didn't believe that we could do this, or we didn't believe this was achievable. But I mean, this is really good work. We'd really like to work with you. And even when investors also see what the company is doing, seeing what we're building, they feel very positive, and they are always you always get good recommendations. Yeah, so that's been my biggest win. And although you know that no product is totally perfect, there are still things because you always have users, your users always want more. So saying that what the users are talking about are already things that we are already working on internally, it just helps to just helps more to say, yeah, we know what we are doing, and as a team we're working towards that, and we kind of have an idea of what our users want, and we'll just keep improving on this. And yeah, that's it.
I can tell that you are excited by your job. I think that's what
you're doing. Yes, I am, because to be honest with you, it took me a while before landing on product design. I can remember being unhappy, doing some of the things I did, like marketing and communications a bit. I used to be not too happy sometimes about what I was doing. I really wanted to do more, and product design lets me do more, create solutions for more people, and also find more people to use the solutions that I've been able to come up with.
Yeah, I think your company also plays a good part in that, because it sounds like they make you feel valued and appreciated.
Yes, they make you feel very much valued and appreciated. I mean, they went as far as having to organize for us to join the Chamber of Commerce in Norway, and then we have to take Norwegian classes, ensuring that when we got into Norway we had an apartment to stay in our first month. I mean, it was rent-free for the first month, and being acting as guarantors for us when we have to, I mean, my colleagues and I that moved in, acting as guarantors for us when we have to, rent our own apartment. So they've made it very seamless settling into the environment. So, I mean, the only thing they can't help with is the probably the weather. The weather is really cold, but yeah, but typically we have like teams channels on Teams where they give us hints and tips on how to survive the cold, buy more of wool clothing, don't buy this, do this, keep your house at a constant temperature, and yeah, they've made it really easy to settle in.
That's awesome. Maybe I'll move to Norway as well.
You're welcome. Just don't move in winter. You move in during summer.
Okay, I'll think about it. All right. Okay, so my next question is, you mentioned that you read articles and listen to podcasts. Can you tell us some of the articles that you read or podcasts that you subscribe to, social media influencers that you might follow, just general content stuff?
Oh, okay. So typically I like to, on YouTube, there's a channel called Femke.design. Femke is from, I think she's from New Zealand, and she's a product designer. She's worked at Uber. So she, I like the way she speaks and the way she breaks down things. There's another channel called VA Experience. He's also a UX person and a product design person. And he also has experience as a recruiter. He helps, reviews people's portfolios. He talks about new trends, for example, AR and VR, Web3, and all of that. So just learning from that. And I also, Envision has a blog that I like to read, and same thing as TopTal. TopTal is usually majorly case studies. And the reason why I subscribe to TopTal's blog is because you have a lot of top designers on TopTal. It's one of the biggest freelance websites, and it's very difficult for you to get in. I remember that they approached me at some point this year, and I had to submit, I think, 6 case studies. After that, I mean, they went through all of that, and they were like, we don't think it's quite right at the moment. These are things we want you to improve on, and maybe you can apply again. So yeah, TopTal's blog is very good. Just read up on people's case studies. You look at how they've been able to solve complex problems. And I think I have a thing for Envision because I also listen to their podcast. It's called Design Better Podcast. So they have different product design leaders and UX design leaders just coming to talk about UX design, product design, UI design in general. And Design Matters by Debbie Millman. I also listen to that. When it comes to social media, I don't really follow social media influencers, and it's because I think that generally my social media is my way of de-stressing, taking a step back from work and everything. So I really don't think I want to do more product design on Twitter or Instagram. So I tend not to follow any social media influencers on Twitter or Instagram. But on LinkedIn, I follow some of them. I follow some of my mentors. Just read what they have to say about UX design, product design, and anything, UX research, anything they're working on. Just read up from other people. Read other people's Medium articles. For example, someone who has spent 20 years in UX design or product design, what have they learned? So yeah, that's it.
All right, thank you so much. Next question, we're gradually coming to an end. My next question would be, what would you say, or where would you say is the best place to search for a job? LinkedIn, Twitter, or specific job boards?
So I'll start with Twitter, because like I said, I hardly use my social media, especially Twitter, for anything work related, so I can't really speak to Twitter. But I know that I've seen people get jobs off Twitter by posting their designs. I'm not really one to post designs because, I mean, I don't know, I just don't think my Twitter is for that. It's for my personal life. I don't want to bring my job into it. So, but I've seen people post things on Twitter, and I find that some people get traction from it, and they have people approach them. I don't have a favorite place per se, because I mean, I use a mixture of everything. So I use LinkedIn, I use job boards, for example, Angel List. I used to use WeWork Remotely. I used to work in Nomads. There's just a lot of them that you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So I use a mixture of everything. But I would say that I have a high success rate from LinkedIn. Yeah. So what I do majorly on LinkedIn is if I find a job that a company has put up, I would not apply on LinkedIn. I would rather just go to their own careers website and apply from the careers website, because I know that I have a better chance of someone reading my application on their own website. But if there is easy apply on LinkedIn, I use that also, because I find out that, yeah, if a recruiter is very dedicated and they really want someone, they will look at every avenue to get the right candidate. So I make use of a mixture of everything, but I have a better success rate from making use of LinkedIn.
All right, thank you. My next question is, what would you say is the salary range for an entry level product designer? I mean, you started out with, I think you said $150, right?
Yeah.
You can't get something now, right? So, what would you say is the average salary for a product designer?
So I think that depends. It depends on the country or the region. So for example, in the US, the entry level for a product designer will be between $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And if you come to Europe, it'll probably be between 40,000 euros to about 50,000 euros a year. So it just depends on the region. And I think the same thing will apply for Canada. Canada will fall under the same thing for US, between, let's say, 60,000 Canadian dollars to about 70,000 Canadian dollars. So those are usually the range for an entry level product designer.
There's money in this product design team, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, there's money, but there's plenty work too.
There's plenty work.
It's a lot of work.
I know a couple of product designers and I have a friend that's always crying. So I understand. Okay, so my second and last question for you would be, what word of advice would you give to your younger self, looking back?
You know what they say that hindsight is 20/20. So I would say to my younger self that everything you're passing through, it happens for a reason. And it's only in the future you would understand why you had to pass through that. So for example, I stated that I did not like what I was doing in marketing and communication, but then I became a product designer and I found out that a lot of the things I learned as a marketer when I was on the field, because then you have to balance your business, your company's goals with your customers' goals, and you need to find the middle point. And I find out that for product design, I also have to align the user's goals to my business goals and find the middle ground for that. So working in marketing made it easier to then be able to do that as a product designer. And I can remember at that time, I think 2015, 2014, I did not like that job. I can remember always complaining. But yeah, I think I had to go through that to be a better product designer, because I'm able to do that more. So to my younger self, like I said, yeah, you don't know why this thing is happening, but in the future, you'd understand. It does get better. And if it does not get better, it's not the end.
Polo 2022. Okay, so my last question, of course, again, is,
yeah,
what's your Spotify playlist? I mean, everyone has been doing Spotify Wrapped these days. So, what's your Spotify playlist like? Just a regular one playlist, something that you would play to get you pumped up for work at all?
So my Spotify playlist is, I mean, it's a mess. So I have like a playlist for Nigeria songs. I have a playlist for, because I like metallic rock. So I have a playlist that's just fully metallic rock. I have a playlist that is just love songs. And I have a playlist that is just Norwegian pop. So
really?
I think it just depends on how I feel. Like, so today, for example, today, all I'm listening to is Norwegian pop. And it's been really good. And tomorrow I might wake up and say, yeah. I mean, I can share that with you sometime. And tomorrow I might wake up and say it's Metallica I want to listen to. So it just depends on my mood for the day. But for my Spotify Wrapped, I think Asake was my top artist.
Of course.
I listened to Palazzo and Terminator a lot. Like, it was on repeat. So Asake had a good year. I'm sure it wouldn't be my top artist next year. I'm sure of that. But this year was Asake for me. I listened to him a lot. Yeah.
Listen to Asake, guys.
Terminator is the best love song for 2022.
The love song? I don't know, but I've actually never spent time with that entire song.
I mean, if you think of it, like, it says, you're amazing. So basically, you're telling your partner that they're amazing.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Tolu, for being here with us. Thank you for sharing your experiences. I mean, it was super, super awesome to hear you speak about your career and just your growth so far. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Tobison, for having me and letting me share my story and for sharing my experience. It was really wonderful talking to you. So.
Yay. I'm glad. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. Please don't forget to share and subscribe. Bye.
Bye, guys.